Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message with Pastor Travis Turner.
These people are amazing in the Lord. I want you to stand to your feet as we invite Pastor Ken to bring the word this morning. Please put your hands together. Give them some love this morning. You're going to be blessed by the message.
Come on, let's give God some for how good he is, how awesome he is. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. Pastor Travis, thank you for those kind words. I was, when you were saying all those nice things about us, I leaned over to Angie and said, who's he talking about? We love Pastor Travis and Tina, and I told your team, I told First Service, and by the way, you guys are awake. That First Service was great, but just a second ago, you guys are awake, amen, and I appreciate that, but I told them earlier, I said, you guys won the lottery when you had Pastor Travis and Tina as your pastors, and I'm not telling you nothing you don't know. Let's give them a hand clap of appreciation, and I asked Angie, has it really been that long? And it's been a minute, but I appreciate your pastors because they love you. And any time over the years we get together and we talk, invariably you come up. They're not calling you by name or nothing like that, but they're just saying, this is what God has done. And they're just so proud of what you're allowing the Lord to do in your life. And this church, you guys, is fabulous. This facility that you guys have built together, this church, and I don't know everything about this area, but this is what I told First Service. This is the place to be on Sunday morning. Amen. Hey, can I get a witness to that? Now, here's the deal. If I get more feedback, the sermon is shorter. If I don't hear anything, I just have to expect that you don't get it, so I have to keep going. And Tina told me Pastor Travis goes at least an hour and a half. Second service. So I'm going to try, y'all. I'm going to try. That's really not my goal. But anyway, we're so honored to be here. And we this feels like home to Angie and I. As you know, we're from Houston, Texas. And we love Texas. It's got great southern hospitality. But this has that same vibe and the same feel. You people are warm. And we feel like we didn't even leave Houston, except it was colder here this morning. I think it's like 80 degrees right now in Houston. Come on, someone. Which is great until it gets to be like August, right? Then it's 120 and we have all of that happening right there. But I know Angie really enjoyed getting to spend some time with you ladies as well on Friday. And she just told me it's just amazing how obvious Tina loves all of you ladies and just the great ministry she has as well with you. So glad to be here and feel at home, feel very comfortable. Thank you, Pastor Travis, for all that you guys have done. We've had a great visit. Love this place. And I was telling him earlier, when we checked into our hotel, you know, there were some guys in front of us and they were going up to their room as we're going up to theirs and they're pushing their carts and they're loaded down with, like, you know, long guns and gun cases. And I'm like, my people, I feel like I'm home. Because if there's one thing about Texas, then I think Idaho, it's like, we know that, right? They had like a shooting competition. And so I got to talking about all of that. And I just love the vibe and the feel of you guys up here. And so I want to just take a couple moments and I just want to talk to you about storms, right? Because one thing about life, we know that we have storms. And, I was raised in Houston, as was my wife at 2 years of age. I think it's 2 years, yeah. They moved her to Louisiana. I rescued her from Louisiana when I married her, put shoes on her feet, brought her across the state line. I'm kidding. She's definitely my better half, y'all. I mean, and so, you know, anyway, but we did ministry there in Houston for years, and then God called us to Oklahoma City, of all places, and so we got to work going there. It was great, built a vibrant, strong church, then God called us back to Houston, but in Oklahoma City, and in growing up on the Gulf Coast, we know storms, we know hurricanes. You know, you guys are blessed, you don't have to worry about all that. You know, you don't have to worry about what a category 3 is or a 4 is, or run for your lives if it's a 5. But we also know tornadoes. So We learned a whole nother level of terror when we moved up to Oklahoma City when the sirens would go off. You know, we were actually new to Oklahoma City, and every Saturday they had these sirens that would go off because they would test them. So like, my God, what's, you know, are they, is it the bomb dropping or what? You know, so anyway, we figured out they're testing the sirens. And but then we noticed the weather, how even like, you know, young people, they never watch the weather. If you're young, you don't care, right? You know, like if you're 18, 19, 20. But up there, we noticed that when we were in restaurants and if something came on about the weather, everybody stopped and they started watching the screens. And then we started figuring out, yeah, we moved there. So Tornado Alley, Moore, Oklahoma. If whatever you saw on the news, the big May 2000 tornado, when the ones that hit afterward, we literally were right there. We actually bought a house in a subdivision that was part of that big May 2000 tornado that was the strongest winds recorded on earth. So strong, it just literally ripped the grass out of the dirt. Just the devastation was huge. We thought we were moving into a new neighborhood. Turns out they were just rebuilding it. Joke was on us. And so I have some stories I could tell you guys. Literally, we've been in cars and we've been running from a tornado coming up behind us. By the grace of God, it veers off. Yeah, I got stories that are better than Hollywood when it comes to that. So I'm just saying that, you know, when it comes to physical storms of life, we've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, got holes in it. But that's not the storms I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the storms that come into our life, right? But how many know that God is greater than any storm we may face? How many know that God, even though it may seem overwhelming, it may seem too much, how many know that when it's all said and done, if you approach it the right way, you're still going to be standing with God when it's over? And I want to turn your attention to Scripture. And in Psalm 77, verse 13, the Scripture says, "What God is as great as our God?" And aren't you thankful that we do serve a great God, that He's a miracle-working God? And so the Scripture says, "What God is as great as our God? You're the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples." And so when we look at Scripture, and especially when we look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see where Jesus did many miracles, right? And we see at least in the Gospels, there's at least 35 recorded miracles where maybe there were, it looks like about 17 bodily cures where he healed people of palsy or blindness, 6 deliverances of demoniacs, maybe they were oppressed or possessed, 3 raised from the dead. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's miraculous. There were 9 miracles over nature that Jesus exhibited, and we're going to look at one of those today. But here's what I want you to know. Jesus did many more miraculous things than what are recorded in the Gospels. That's what the Scripture says. In John 21, verse 25, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. So what I want you to know that even though we read in the Gospels what Jesus did, He did more. Everywhere Jesus went, He performed miracles. Something amazing where He spoke into someone's storm and He did something that someone thought couldn't be done. And I want you to know that Jesus is still doing that today. He's still speaking it. Come on, someone. He's still speaking into our lives, still speaking into storms, still speaking into our heartache, still speaking into our troubles and our issues and our challenges. And he's still a miraculous Savior. I know we're very close with the couple. They were excited. They just had gotten pregnant. They were married, excited about all that. And went to the doctor, had some checkups, and then got some really bad news. The doctors were very grim, and they were just saying, hey, you probably want to consider terminating this pregnancy. As you all know, what a crushing diagnosis. But then people started praying. Come on. People just started reaching out to the Lord Jesus, and people just covered them in prayer. Went back to the doctor. The doctor said, well, obviously we're wrong. You're going to carry this baby to term. Everything we said is going to happen isn't going to happen. I'm telling you, it's not over till God says it's over. And I don't want to just preach a message. I want to do something. My heart is that it equips you for the next storm that's coming. Because how many know that life is like that? When you get out of a storm, you're like, "Woo! I don't want another one of those." And then the next thing you know, you're in one, right? And so I want prayerfully to be able to equip you for the storms that we're always going to have in our life. And so I want to look at a storm today where Jesus actually spoke a word and actually calmed a physical storm. And then let's pull some application out of that to our everyday life. So looking at Matthew and looking at the book of Mark, these two gospels, one writer adds to this account what another one didn't, so it builds harmony in this historical account. And so in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, the day, or that day when evening came, he, meaning Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Now, just hit the pause button. How many know that when Jesus says something, it's going to happen? So it would be really good there for them to just file away a little footnote that, hey, Jesus said we're going to the other side. So here the scripture goes on to say, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, meaning he was in the back, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we're going to drown?" And, you know, thinking about that, they were locked into a ride. They didn't know when it was going to end. How many have ever ridden roller coasters? Go to amusement park or something like that. And in Houston, where we grew up, there used to be an amusement park, and they had some great roller coaster rides. They had one called the Shockwave. I don't know why I ever rode it, but I did. You get on it, and it's a double loop. And you think, it can't be that bad. I mean, it's over pretty fast. You go from like 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. And then about that second loop, you're going, "Dear God, just get me off of this thing. And I promise you, if you get me off, I'll never get on again." Everybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever, you know, we pray those prayers and we think, you know, and then it's over. And they're like, "Well, okay, you know," and then we do it again. And God's like, "Didn't you remember when?" But here's the thing, when we're riding those kind of rides, we know they're going to be over soon. You know, all you got to do is hold on, right? It's going to be over in just a couple of moments. But that's the reality with the storms of life. We know when they begin, but we have no clue when they're going to end. We know the beginning of the season, but we don't know the end of that storm season. And a lot of times we struggle in that process as we're going through that storm. And here, Jesus and his disciples, as he's been teaching and ministering all day, they get into the boat. Of course, they're going over to the other side, and they're in a region that's known for producing violent storms. You know, you've got the warm air coming off of the Mediterranean Sea. And it's coming over that large body of water where they're at. And then they have cool air coming down from the mountains where they were. And then the cool air meets with the warm. And of course, that always produces storms. And so one of these violent storms that actually just blows up on them right there. And in this moment, it would have been really good for the disciples to have remembered what Jesus first told them. We're going to the other side. And they kind of forgot that in the process. But if Jesus said, "You're going to the other side," you're actually going to make it to the other side. And if the disciples could have remembered that, then their response to this storm would have been a lot different. And I would like to say, you know what? If I was one of the disciples, I wouldn't have been this way, but I would have been. I would have been hanging onto the boat, screaming as well to Jesus, "Don't you care that we're going to drown?" Hindsight's 20/20. Any backseat drivers in here? Don't raise your hand. I'm not looking at you. Don't. I'm not looking at my wife right now because she can tell me how to drive, and she's better than GPS. And actually, she does help me, honestly. But isn't it something that we can backseat drive, so to speak, our life? You know, hindsight's 20/20 vision. When you go through something, you're like, "Well, I could have handled that a lot better." And that's how it is with the storms of life. And it would have been great for the disciples to have remembered that in that moment. And so the storm hits, the water's coming over. And just remember that these aren't like office guys, these disciples. They're like men of the water. They're fishermen, some of them are. So they're not easily overwhelmed. They've been in situations like this before, but this was an extra violent storm. And they were all in fear of their life. And so they woke Jesus up and they said, don't you care? Have you and have you ever felt that way as you're going through a storm that maybe you've been praying? It's like, "God, hey, have you lost me? Do you hear my prayer? Do you even care what's going on in my life?" Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where it's like you're praying and the storm is just hitting you over and over and over. You're like, "Hey, God, did you lose my zip code?" And I feel like that's where the disciples, they were yelling at, "Teacher, don't even you care if we drown?" And here you are sleeping in the stern of the boat. And then now to the book of Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 26. Jesus replies, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" I mean, that's kind of a spicy thing to say in the moment. Why wouldn't we be? We're going to drown. We don't have personal flotation devices. That doesn't exist right now. We don't have floaties. We don't have all of that right now. And then Jesus, because Jesus hasn't calmed the storm, he just simply says, why are you afraid? Because I told you we're going through. And so then he says, he got up, he rebuked the winds and the wave. And some of the other versions say that he stood up in the boat and he said, "Peace, be still." And the scripture goes on to say that when he spoke to that the winds and the waves, they just began to calm down. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Now you think about that, and I don't know, I like to sail. I've sailed of all places. I learned how to sail in Oklahoma, landlocked And we live on the Gulf Coast, but I learned how to sail up there and love that, all of that. It's great and it's amazing. And I love to sail. But the reality is that when you sail, you have to be really aware of the conditions. And I know one time I took my sailboat out with, he was our worship leader up there. And it was a small craft advisory day, which means you're an idiot if you go out on the water. But you know what? I had the day off. We had plans. And by God, we were going to go sailing. And so we did. So I put my sailboat out and we went out and we were in the protection of a little island and we're sailing and I'm kind of sweating it already. And actually I learned how to sail at this YMCA sailing school. And the instructor, he was like an old salt. He knew everything about sailing. And I actually saw him pulling his students out of the water. And he looks up and he sees us sailing out. And I think he's looking at us going, "What kind of a fool would go out?" So I have just my mainsail out, and we're sailing. And as soon as we get out from behind the protection of the island, the full weight of the wind hits us, lays us over. And we're sailing and we're hanging on the edge. And my worship pastor, he has no sense because he doesn't know anything about sailing. He thinks it's great fun, but we're about to capsize. And we're literally about to sink. And then out of the corner of my eye, there was actually a television crew on the shore recording. I thought, "My God, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be on the evening news." And so our worship guy, his name is Thad. I hope he watches the sermon because we would laugh on this years later. But he's like, "Hey, this is great, Pastor Ken." And I'm just trying to keep us from going over. And he's like, "Put out the other sail." I'm like, "You've lost your mind." And I did because I put it out. And that it just knocked us down. And then the rudder came off in my hands. If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, that's like the part you steer a sailboat. So we're going up and down and up and down, and we're almost over into the water. I'm trying to put this back on a little pin and try to get... I thought we were going to sink, and it was terrifying. And that one little experience, and there's more, but that one little experience makes me relate to the disciples here. That when Jesus stood up and he said, "Peace, be still," and the wind and the waves immediately stopped. The scripture says in one version, they were terrified. Here it said they were amazed. They said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" And so what we have to understand is this, is that we may think we know Jesus, but you never really know Jesus until you're in a storm. And then you actually experience the power and the presence and the goodness of the Lord Jesus to show up in our life and to help us as we try to navigate that storm. "I thought I knew who you were." The disciples said, "I thought I knew who Jesus was. I've seen him do some miracles, but I've never seen him control nature." But come on, that's the kind of Savior we serve. That's the kind of Lord we serve. That's the kind of Lord that we're leaning into and building a relationship with. And so this storm that they are encountering, it's not a metaphor. It's real. Wind, lightning, all the waves coming over into the boat. And so when I think about that, it's really not just physical storms, though, that Jesus calms in our life. See, really, there's at least three types of storms that we may encounter in life. And the first one is a physical storm. We get that. We understand that. In a physical storm, it may be something like a sickness, right? It could be relational issues. It could be family trouble. It could be a diagnosis you weren't expecting, right? It's something that's physical, you know, that just kind of like you can see it and you're dealing with it. But then a physical storm can then manifest into another type of storm. And that storm is an emotional storm. So it starts out with something you're seeing, you're looking at, and then immediately you begin to feel it. So you get a diagnosis you weren't expecting. Wow, that's a physical storm. Wasn't expecting that. And then immediately what happens? Fear shows up. That's an emotional storm. Then you start thinking, well, what's going to happen? How am I going to navigate this? And what does this mean for my family? And am I going to be able to provide? Am I going to be able to do this? Or maybe there's a marital challenge, or maybe there's something that happened in your family you weren't expecting. And then all these emotions begin to come, and fear and anxiety and condemnation, depression. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the challenging thing about emotional storms, it's just wave after wave of emotion. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're trying to hold on. It's all you can do. Anybody love to ski out here? I mean, does the water ever get warm enough up here? I heard that the river was like 52 degrees or something. Thank you. When I was trying to learn how to ski, I figured you have to, at some point when you're not up on the skis, you got to let go of the rope. So when I first learned how to ski, I just kept holding on even when I wasn't up. And so I was just plowing through the water, and water was coming through my face. And that's how it is in an emotional storm. You're just trying to hold on because it's wave after wave of fear, or wave after wave of depression or anxiety, or some kind of maybe it's rage or anger or bitterness at something that's been happening in your life. And the challenge of emotional storms is it threatens to just drain you of strength of be able to hold on. But an emotional storm then can morph into another type of storm. And actually, I think this is the most challenging storm at all. It starts in a physical way, it goes to an emotional storm, and then it can morph into a spiritual storm. And that's exactly what happened to the disciples. Literally, they were in a physical storm. You know, wind, waves, that happened. But then it turned into an emotional storm. Fear showed up, right? And then it turned into a spiritual storm. And then that spiritual storm, it begins to make you doubt that God even sees you. It makes you doubt, does God even hear my prayers? And that's what happened to the disciples. Don't you even care, Jesus, that we're going to drown? Don't you, you're sleeping. Are you even concerned with what's going on in my life? And that's how we can feel so many times when we're praying, God, I need you to show up in this challenge of my life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've got this storm. I didn't sign up for it. I didn't want it. I don't know when it's going to end. I need your grace. I need your power. I need your presence. Change something, and all you get is nothing. Where are you, God? And then you start to doubt. And so here's the thing. I wish it was this way every time. I wish that when we had storms, and we've been through some storms, even just, I was telling Pastor Travis, it's been a challenge the last 2 weeks, even where we've been pastoring. It's like, we have Easter weekend, love Easter weekend, what it all is and what it represents, you know. It's so, so awesome. We love that. So we have Easter Sunday, but the day before on Saturday, I do a funeral for a young man who overdoses. Accidentally. If you have friends who are struggling, love them enough to speak out. You know, because nobody's perfect. We're all struggling. How many know that we can look like we got it together on the inside, but we're struggling on the inside? So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to step out. So we have Easter service, and then on the day after Easter service, we do a memorial service for a precious mother and wife who took her life. People are in storms. They're in challenges. They have heartache. Just got a text this morning before first service of a guy in church. He's saying, hey, listen, my mom's been diagnosed with cancer. The storms just don't stop you guys. And I know what you know what I'm talking about. You've lived life. You know what I'm talking about. Storms, they don't stop. And I wish it's like when you put your faith in Jesus, you get this beautiful blue skies, smooth sailing from here on to the time we go home to be with Jesus. But that's not the reality. How many know that we live in a world that's under the curse of sin? But how many know that God's still good? And how many know that he's still king of the storm? He's still Lord of the storm, right? So how do we navigate that? Because I wish every time that Jesus would just show up like he did here and just show up in our lives and say, hey, peace be still. And whatever the storm is, it just goes away. That's the line I would get in every time. But the reality, that's not how it works. And here's what I want you to think about. What if the miracle wasn't the storm Jesus calmed on the outside, but the storm he calmed on the inside? Because this is how I see Jesus working in our lives. He picks us up, and in spite of the storm, he holds us close, and he takes us through the storm. Everything may be howling, the wind may be howling, the issues may be around us, but he takes us through the storm until he puts us on the other side when we're out of it. And that's how I've seen Jesus work in my life. And I'm telling you, we've seen it. Me and Angie, we've been through storms. You've been through storms. And that's something we need to realize. But what I want you to know more about the storms of life this morning is that sometimes God may use storms in our life to do a work in our emotions, to do a work in our spirit, right? And so we have this tremendous promise from God. And I want to say this too. I'm not saying God causes the storm, but how many of you know that God can utilize that storm to do something good in our emotions, to do something good in our spirit, right? And so we have this tremendous promise, and I love this verse. This is a great verse to memorize in Hebrews 6 and 9. The scripture says we have this hope. Everybody say hope. We have this hope as a what? Anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So regardless of the storm you've been through, regardless of the storm you're about to enter, regardless of the storm you're in right now, you have a hope that is greater than the storm you're battling right now. We have this hope that is God, and when we're anchored in him, it's a blessing for our soul. And remember, you think about this. The purpose of an anchor is what? Like in a ship or a vessel, it goes down to the seabed, right? And the anchor, it goes down into whatever surface is there, sand or whatever it might be, and it digs down and it holds the position of that vessel. And that's what it is. When we have our hope in Christ, we are actually putting our anchor in him. We're putting our anchor in the rock of ages. Regardless of the storm, we're going to be secure in him. How many love to fish, right? I'm a fisherman and fisherwomen. So, I mean, I love to fish. We like to fish down. I'm in the Gulf Coast, so I like to do saltwater fishing and offshore fishing and all that. That's great. But I also like, you know, all kind of fishing. And we'll be in, like, freshwater lakes sometimes. And you know the ones they dam up, right? And so you fish on the dam side, and then it goes over the dam and then the river below. And so I remember one time fishing, though, in a boat. And we were fishing, and then I saw this sign. And it wasn't a very polite sign. It just said, if you're here, you need an anchor. You need to know how to use it. And I thought, well, that's kind of abrupt. And then I thought, but that really makes sense. You know, because if my motor goes out, I'm in trouble if I don't have an anchor, because then I could see the dam. I mean, we're like 300 feet away from it. And there's some good fishing right there, but kind of spicy too. And so we're fishing right there. And so I'm thinking, do we have an anchor? You know, because I didn't want to be that guy going over the dam and being on TikTok. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Being that guy. Look at that fool, you know, up there. And so the reality is, though, is that we need a dam, or we need an anchor in our life, that whenever we're close to the challenges, the storms, the issues in our life, that it holds us fast. And Hebrews says that we have our hope in Jesus as an anchor for our soul. Now, why does it say our soul? When you talk about our soul, what is that? It's our mind, it's our will, and it's our emotions. What gets attacked when you go through a storm? Our minds, our will, and our emotions. How you're thinking, your decision-making process, you know, your will to do right, how you're feeling, how you're approaching all of this. And so when we look at that, why does our soul need anchoring? Because our mind and our will and our emotions need to be anchored so that our emotions, our thoughts, and our will to do what's right is not battered on the rocks. And you know, if you've done any sailing or anything like that, you know that even if you're at anchor in a harbor or whatever the case is, you need to be able to anchor down at night so that even if a wind blows up, it doesn't blow you into a leeward shore, that you don't wind up on the rocks or you have great great loss of life or loss of all your material and things like that. So I want to bring it to this point right here, and I'm pretty sure everybody's aware of what I'm saying. God is the anchor for our souls. Can I get an amen on that? He is the rock of ages, and the point is that he can be the rock of ages, but if you're not anchored in him, it doesn't do you any good. How many know you can know about Jesus, but until you know Jesus, that's the difference, right? So you need to be anchored in who God really is. And that's really what I want to talk about today. Said all that just to get to this point. Pastors are terribly long-winded. But here's the reality. How do we do that? That's what I want to know. How do we anchor ourselves in God so that when storms come, we're secure? Well, here's the first thing that we do. We're anchored when we cultivate God's presence. We're anchored when we cultivate God's presence. Now, I know there's a lot of farming around here. I've seen it when we're driving out. So when you cultivate, what are you doing? You're intentionally doing things to the soil so that it produces a healthier crop, right? And so you're adding amendments. You're doing certain things. Did you know there's certain things you can do to your life to cultivate the presence of God? To make the presence of God more powerful, more genuine, and more real in your life. And why is that so important? It's because God's presence anchors us. And so we need to get into God's presence so our soul can be anchored, especially when we're in a storm. But how many know that we shouldn't wait till a storm comes before we're anchored? Right. How many know that we need to start cultivating the presence of God right now? Right? It's kind of like knowing a hurricane is coming, and you've got 3 weeks to prepare. And you're like, yeah, and then you start trying to do something like 2 hours before. Well, Home Depot's going to be out of plywood. I don't know if y'all have ever experienced that. People lose their minds when that stuff happens. There's nothing in the stores. And how many know that we never operate that way in our relationship with Jesus? We don't ever want to operate from an attitude of poverty, right? We want the abundance of God in our life, the richness of God in our life. So we need to cultivate that presence of God all the time in our life. Look at what the scripture says in Psalms 91, 1 and 4. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Aren't you thankful that God can be your refuge, that He can be your fortress no matter how powerful the storm is? And the scripture goes on to say that He'll save us and how He'll move in us. He'll cover us with His feathers and that in Him we find refuge. He is faithful and He'll just. He's our shield and He's our rampart. So what are the things that we can do to cultivate the presence of God in our life? Well, there's nothing new that you don't already know. They're called spiritual disciplines. There's really nothing more important than prayer. Prayer isn't a legalistic way to try to approach God. Prayer is not about religion. Prayer is about a friendship between you and the Lord. And there's not a right way to do it. There's not a wrong way to do it. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and there's good ways to pray. But you know what? The best way I've learned how to talk to Jesus is like how I'm talking to you right now. Lord, I'm about to lose my mind. I don't know how to deal with this situation. I need some wisdom. Or God, I need some favor from you. I need some strength from you. God, I'm weak. I really need you to show up. And just building that friendship. And prayer cultivates the presence of God. Here's something else that actually cultivates the presence of God. It's worship. It's what we were doing before I got up to speak. Worship brings the presence of God. How many know that you can worship outside of church? I mean, some of your best worship is when you're driving to church or driving to work in the morning and you put on some worship music, put on Spotify, hit a playlist or whatever it is that you have, and you start worshiping God, right? I mean, look at everybody else, what they're doing in their cars. You might as well have a worship session on the way to work. I see people sometimes early, like I see women getting ready in their cars early in the morning. They're putting on makeup and they're driving and everything. You might as well be worshiping. Everybody else is doing. What does worship do? It brings the presence of God. And I'm not worshiping just because I need God now. I'm worshiping because I love Him, because I want Him in my life, because I want a deep relationship with Him. And here's the third thing, and I know you know this because you're here today, and I'm preaching to the choir, right, so to speak. Consistent church attendance really feeds your spirit. Consistent week after week. And it's not legalistic. It's not about you have to be here every Sunday. I know Pastor Travis and how he approaches that. And when we do it the same way, if you can be somewhere with your family and you have an opportunity to go, do that. Why? Because you're making great memories. But when you're in town, be in the house of the Lord. Why? Because you need that steady nourishment in your spirit. I was talking to and don't get me wrong. You know, this second service, I'm just slowing way down. So I just spoke back home in my church to a young father. And I love sports. I'm a super competitive guy. My kids are that way. My wife is that way. She may look like a sweet Southern little girl, but she's very competitive. And I love sports. But I was talking to a dad who was pretty consistent. Thank you. And I hadn't seen him. And he's got these wonderful kids. He's got a really large family, got these beautiful kids, beautiful family. And finally, I hadn't seen him. Like, hey, I'm missing you. Where you're at? Oh, it's this traveling baseball team I got on. I'm like, man, that's awesome. I love all that. But you know, when the storms hit, that baseball team's not going to be there for you. And you need to be investing in the presence of God in your life. And I say this very kindly. And the other thing too is just saying too, when you're showing your kids you can put other things before God, you're teaching them that God is negotiable, that you can approach God whenever you want to. And I said, here's the thing, do the sports, because the sports is tremendous. I think sports teaches kids great things. There's losers and winners sometimes, right? Yeah. And if you want to win, you got to learn how to win. Yeah. I hope that's okay to say. And so I think I love sports. And it's not even that. How many know it can be a million different things? And he's like, you know what? You're right. My wife and I, we've been talking about that. And we didn't feel good about that. I'm like, you made a great decision. And really, what is he doing? He's cultivating the presence of God when he consistently brings his family into the house of God, because he's not only feeding his spirit and his wife's spirit, but all of those beautiful kids he has as well. And what he's doing, he's actually building spiritual resiliency into their life. Not if, because when the storms hit, he's going to have some reserve. Because when we're not cultivating the presence of God in our life, when we're not praying, we're not worshiping, and then the storm hits, oh, you're in trouble. You better hit 911. You better hope the Coast Guard is coming. Pastor Travis, Pastor Tina, we need you. Why? Because I've got nothing in the tank and the storm is here. The wolf is at the door, so to speak. And I've got nothing. I've got nothing to stand against it. And the reality is, though, is that when we cultivate God's presence, he shows up. How many know that God is so good? Some of my best times with God, they're just quiet times where I'm being still. I may not even be praying, but I'm in a prayerful state of mind. I may have listened to some worship music, or I just may be being still. And I just feel the presence of God just sweep over me. And I try to do that because I know I need his presence. Here's the second thing that we do to be anchored in God is we're anchored when we remember God's promises. Everybody say God's promises. So God's word is the anchor that holds fast against the storms of life. Jesus said this. He said, listen, he was teaching a parable. He said, if you hear and obey, how many know that you just can't hear the word of God and be blessed? But he said, if you hear and obey my commands, it's like a man who builds his house on the rock, that when the storms come, it will stand fast. So it's not a matter if, it's just a matter of when the storms are going to come. I love Psalms 119 verse 8. It says this, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. And so it's not, listen, the scripture didn't say I put my hope in how I feel. I put my hope in what my friend says. I put my hope in somebody coming through for me. No, it doesn't say that. It said I put my hope in your word. Why? Because God's word is an anchor for our soul. And it's not enough just to read the word of God. How many know what I'm talking about? How many know the Bible is, Bible's amazing. What I love about the Bible's a trip. You can read all kinds of things in the Bible. Have you ever read anything in the Bible? And you're like, oh my God, I didn't know that was in there. And what I love about the Bible, it doesn't gloss anything over. It shows us who we are as humanity. But we learn about ourselves as we read scripture. We learn about the grace and the redemption of God as we read in the scripture. But here's the thing, we read it, but it's not enough just to read it. We also need to meditate on it. In other words, that means we need to think deeply on it. We need to turn it over and over. Same way that, you know, even as your worship leader, and that's what are coming up, you were exhorting to worship. You're talking about rototilling the soil. When you said that connected with me in that first service, and you said it again, because the picture I get, and I don't know if I'm on, but it just means you're turning it over and over and over. And that's what you do when you're meditating on God's word. You're turning it over and over in your mind because you want it to go deep down into your heart and just put roots down and produce a lot of great fruit, spiritual fruit. And so when you meditate on the word of God, that's awesome. So you read it, you meditate on it, and then you apply it. When you start applying the truth of God's word to our life, amazing things begin to happen. That's where we see real change begin to take place in our life. When we take the truth of God's word and we start actually applying it in our storms, in our challenges, in our relationships, or whatever it might be. So we're anchored whenever we cultivate the presence of God. We're anchored when we remember God's promises. And last of all, we're anchored when we trust God's process. This, I'm going to tell you, this is the hardest thing, I think, for many of us. How many are working on just patience? It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? You're like, I need patience. And you think you get patience, and then something happens, and you're like, yeah, I'm not there yet. So God actually uses storms to kind of build things in our lives, and it's His process. I feel like, I don't know, Pastor Travis, I feel like if the disciples would have remembered that Jesus said, we're going to the other side, I think their reaction to the storm would have been totally different. They'd have pushed off and they're like, hey, this is going to get crazy in a minute, but it's okay. I mean, if they knew everything that was going to happen and how it was going to turn out, they're like, hey, in about 30 seconds and 29 and 30, yep, here it comes. Here's the storm. It's okay, everybody. Just hang on. Woo, what a ride. He's going to stand up in the boat just a minute. He's going to say, peace, be still. And we're going to laugh about this in the moment, but they didn't know. And the reaction was like our reactions when storms hit. But here's what I'm really wondering. If they would have remembered what Jesus had said to them, our response would have been different. That's why it's so important for us to be in the truth of God's word, that when the storms hit, we don't go according to our feelings. We live our life according to the truth of God's word. But here's a very difficult truth I want to share with you this morning. Storms help us trust God's process. We're not always going to understand why storms come into our life. Don't know why my wife had to go through breast cancer and fight that battle. But it was a storm, and she did. My sister passed several years back, one of the most strongest Christians I know. I love her. Can't wait to see her again, and I'm going to. And, you know, she battled a sickness all of her life, even as a juvenile, as a juvenile diabetic. I made it great, just a great girl, took great care of herself. She was on, Pastor Travis, she was on the operating room table getting a pancreas and a kidney transplant, which we thought was going to be the cure. And the surgeons are like, this is a slam dunk. This is awesome. We're all looking forward, you know, to a change of life for her. And remember, she has served God so faithfully. And she didn't make it out. Wasn't expecting that, God. So immediately that turned into a spiritual, can I just be honest and transparent? That turned into a spiritual storm for me. Seriously, God? I hope this is okay. Is this how you treat people? That somebody would serve you all the days of her life, and then when the moment of delivery is there, you pull the rug out. Is that your idea of, like, you know, being a faithful God? And I did all that, and I'm not proud of it. But here's what I do know about God: He's big enough. God is not bothered by my doubt. He's the Rock of Ages. And you know, and here's what I do know. And I'm not going to lie, it was a storm, and we had to go through the process. But on the other side of the storm, now we look back, we see God's fingerprints all over it. Over 1,000 people at her funeral. She was that kind of girl. She loved Jesus. There were FedEx people. There were Postal Service people. There were people we had no idea that was even in her life saying, hey, she led me to Jesus. She prayed over me, or she did this, or she did that, whatever the case may be. And this girl, she served God faithfully all the days of her life. And this is one thing I do want to say. We think that God's going to answer our request to calm our storm in a certain way. I'm just going to tell you, when you're anchored in Him, you win regardless. Now, is she healed? Absolutely. She's with the Lord right now. You know, people say this, oh, I lost him. And I understand what they're saying. I lost him. I lost her. And Pastor Travis, we're praying for you, you know, and your mother passing and going home to be with the Lord. But, you know, you haven't lost her. We know right where she is. Come on, someone. We have this faith. Why? Why do we have this faith? Why do we have this faith? It's a hope because it's an anchor for our soul. And no matter what the storm is, we are anchored that when it's all said and done, we're still going to be standing. Romans 5 verses 2 and 4 says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now, isn't that amazing? We start with suffering and then we wind up at hope. That's the process of a storm and how God can use that to build good things into our life. And that's part of his process of using the storm to work out something good in us. I'm going to be real honest. I don't want the trouble of a storm. If there's an option, I'm going to get into the line that says no storm. I don't want that. But the truth is, if there weren't some storms in my life, I wouldn't be where I am right now. And he's worked some things in me. Now, when I first got married, I was fixated. I didn't know how to grill, and I don't. I didn't know how to do a lot of things when I first got married. Marriage teaches you a lot of things, right? How many of you guys like to grill? I thought I knew how to grill. Then my wife told me I didn't, you know? And we didn't have a lot of money when we got married. I was still finishing school, and she had just moved from Louisiana, and a lot of things were going on. And whenever I was grilling, I would think, hey, it's done on the outside, but on the inside, you know, I don't know, but it looks great. Have you ever done that before? Maybe you're doing burgers and got that perfect finish on the outside. Like, man, this is going to be so awesome. I first started grilling, you know, it's like I'd use a lot of lighter fluid. You know, how many know if a little is good, a lot more is better? I feel like I could be the flamethrower at the circus after I ate a burger. Angie would always say, it's a little lighter fluidy tasting. So I learned how to do that. But then finally, I learned how to really cook things through. One time we had a big event over at our house. All my family was over. And so I cooked these beautiful burgers, nice and brown, just a tiny bit of char on the edge, just a little, you know, not crunchy, but just. And I thought, I got this. Everybody cut into them. They were just as raw and pink on the inside. I feel like that's how it is with us sometimes. I feel like we think, hey, God, I'm ready for that next thing in my life. And God very kindly says to us, I don't think you're quite ready. How about a storm instead? We want a promotion sometimes, and God said, but I'll give you a storm. Because it's only in the storm that we really learn who Jesus is. It's only in a storm that we know to see that our faith is deepened and it develops. In the book of James, the scripture says that when we go through all of that, we go through all the sufferings and the challenges, troubles of any kind come our way, he builds endurance. And that perfects our faith. Not that we have perfect faith, but we have faith in the one who perfects us. So I don't know what storms you may be going through. But because I know you live in this world, I know you have storms. Maybe you just came out of one. Maybe you're in the middle of one. Maybe you're smooth sailing right now. And I praise God with you if you are. But I just want you to know you're in a house today. You're in a church today that loves you, that wants to speak life into you, that wants to sustain you and encourage you regardless of the storm you're in. Because here's the thing, we don't want the storm to destroy us. We want to be stronger because of the storm. We want our faith in Jesus to be stronger. We want our story for Jesus when we share it with other people to be stronger, right? And we want to know Jesus more than ever before. So would you mind just bowing your head for a moment? Would you mind just closing your eyes? Father, I speak the name of Jesus over this beautiful church family. Father, some of them have some storms that are internal. On the outside, it may look like everything is going fine, but on the inside, the storm is raging. And through the name of Jesus and the truth of your word, I just speak your strength and your anointing into their storm, that you would calm them, that you would encourage them. I pray for, Lord, for those that are struggling. Maybe there's a lot of pain. Maybe there's a physical issue. Maybe there's relational things going on. Lord, maybe it turned into an emotional storm, and maybe there's fear and anxiety and depression, and maybe now there's doubt, whatever the case may be. Would you just show up, and would you just start speaking peace into their storm right now? Would you encourage them? Would you bless them? Would you sustain them? Lord, that they would put their anchor down, and they would anchor in the rock of ages that is you. That when the storm is over, they will still be safe and secure, stronger and wiser and deeper and more spiritually mature than ever before. I pray your blessing over them. Father, if there's anybody here today who's never made you the Lord of their life, I pray that you would give them grace to do it now. Father, I pray that they would just call out and put their faith in your Son, that they would believe in him, that they would allow him to lead and guide and direct their life, that they would allow you, Lord, to show them how to be a follower of Jesus. I thank you for this, and I thank you for what you're doing in this church and what you're doing in this community through this church. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. God bless you.
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, we'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.